Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this regular meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Figueroa, would you please lead us?
Would everybody please stand so we can salute our beautiful flag? Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Beal.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem McGurr.
Here.
Councilmember Baird.
Here.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Here.
Councilmember Holloway.
Thank you. That brings us to item number one on our agenda, schedule of future events. Ms. City Manager.
Thank you very much, Mayor Beal and members of the City Council. First, City Hall will be closed on Monday, September 1st in observance of Labor Day. And then second, the city is proud to once again host its annual Patriot Day ceremony on Thursday, September 11th. It is open to the public to attend. The ceremony will begin at 5:30 p.m. outside in Central Park, right near the bell tower. We will honor our military, first responders, and remember those lives lost from our city and from the city's adopted 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. A moment of silence will be observed. We are encouraging all those in attendance to wear the colors of our great nation's flag. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us to item two, council member comments and reports. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to publicly thank the Orange County Fire Authority, Shane Mall, Chief Shane Mall, and all those who work with him for their fast response to the club fire 4 days ago, 5 days ago, out past Dove Canyon. I don't think I need to tell anybody that's the biggest risk, the biggest fear we have in Rancho Santa Margarita is wildfires. And after the Holy Fire and after the airport fire, it was deja vu all over again when we heard that there was a fire going on out past Dove Canyon. So luckily, thankfully, it was a humid day. There weren't a lot of winds. They, being the Orange County Fire Authority, were able to get the helicopters out and put that fire down quite quickly. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, Chief. Thank all the men and women involved with the OCFA. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well said, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. RSM Cares and our City Council would like to thank all our residents that contributed to the hunger bags this summer. Our very own RSM Pavilions is one of the top in the nation for donations given. And recently, our residents donated 8 pallets of peanut butter, pasta, tuna, and a lot of other non-perishable items. So thank you so much to everybody. And also, thank you to RSM Cares for handing out almost 500 new backpacks this month for our local children. Thank you for the generous donation of backpacks from RSM Coda Rotary and John Hardwick and USAG. So we appreciate that. And thank you so much, too, to all the volunteers who came out in the heat to make sure all the backpacks got put together. So thank you very much, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Barrett.
Thank you. Today I was honored to welcome, to represent RSM, to welcome home two new homeowners with Habitat for Humanity OC. In 1990, the Carino Vista project on Via Quidito was the very first affordable housing project for Habitat for Humanity of Orange County. Originally built in 1990 with the County of Orange, this project remains the only permanent owner-occupied affordable development in RSM, and it provides homeownership opportunities for 48 families. I also attended the recent e-bike and bicycle safety course where our sheriff's deputies addressed roadway safety, vehicle codes as they apply to riders, and rules and regulations for e-bikes. Thanks to Providence Mission Hospital, we were able to give away helmets to the youth in our community. And a big thank you to, as well, to the RSM Sheriff's Department for hosting this important event. Also, at our June 25th meeting, we, the City Council, asked staff to review the cost and feasibility of adding new signage on the Santa Margarita Parkway Bridge. The four existing signs were originally installed in 2020, but the phone number listed has since changed to the three-digit 988 crisis line. These are the suicide signs that I'm discussing. I'm pleased to share that staff will be updating the signs not only with the new 988 number, but also with a QR code for quick access to resources. Six new signs have been ordered and will be installed in the coming weeks. I want to thank my fellow council members for supporting this important update that helps to ensure resources are accessible to those in need in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Ms. City Manager, for taking care of that for us. Okay, that completes item 2.1, bringing us to 2.2, committee assignment reports. The only one on tonight's agenda is the Foothill Eastern Transportation Authority. Proud to be our city's representative on the TCA. And at our last meeting on August 14th, we actually achieved a major milestone with respect to the 241-91 Express Connector that I've spoken about many times, in that we approved the major agreements relating to that big project. And so what we did was unanimously approve the execution of a four-party master and operating agreement for this Express Connector project. When completed, this project will provide a new tolled direct connection between the 91 express lanes and the 241 toll road, which will improve connectivity and the traffic flow through the area. Right now, many of you probably have experienced the major backup that can occur waiting to get onto the 91. So this is it's our biggest project. We've been working literally for years to bring it to this point, and to get to the point of signing those master agreements is a major milestone. This is the first step to move the project into the next and final construction phase. The project is expected to go out for a construction bid in late 2025, so later this year, and it should be open to traffic, fully completed by early 2029. So we're very excited about that. Okay. That brings us to item 3, presentations and proclamations. And at this point, I'd like to invite Mayor Pro Tem McGurr, if you would please join me in front. So this is item 3.1, and they are certificates of recognition for the plein air art contest participants, a celebration of our city's 25th anniversary in partnership with RSM Cares Art Hub. And we are pleased to recognize tonight the following plein air art contest participants. And when I call your name, if you would please come forward as your name is called. Our first place winner was Diane Omnibus. Congratulations, Diane. Second place, Ernie Romo. Third place, Jim Williamson. And the People's Choice Award winner, Pam Turner. Pam Turner's in Europe doing some plein air art, so she can't join us tonight, but we congratulate her anyway. I'd also like to recognize the following participants, and if you're here, please also come forward. Sabrina Abercrombie. Judy Cunningham. Doug Dorjarian. Olga Grun. Jim McLaughlin. Carolyn Parsons. Jeff Ponce. Brad Rhodes. Aaron Silverman. Floor Shraksari.
Hope that was close, Floor.
Blake Summy. And finally, Eileen Wintemute. I'd like to share the contents of our certificate of recognition. The City of Rancho Santa Margarita proudly celebrates its 25th anniversary of incorporation this year, commemorating a quarter century of community connection and civic pride. Our City Council desires to recognize with appreciation organizations and individuals that have made a significant contribution to the success of our community. The RSM Cares Art Hub provides programs, events, and support to the Rancho Santa Margarita art community, fostering cultural development and social opportunities that benefit the entire community. The RSM Cares Art Hub artists have contributed to the vitality of our city through the plein air painting contest, capturing the natural beauty and unique character of Rancho Santa Margarita through open-air artistry. And through participation in paint-out sessions held at Civic Plaza Central Park, Lago Santa Margarita RSM Lake, and O'Neill Park, artists have engaged residents in inspired community interactions. The plein air painting contest reflects our city's ongoing commitment to fostering creativity, public engagement, and the celebration of local talent. And we have lots of it. So the RSM Cares Art Hub continues to enrich our community through collaborative partnerships, artistic expression, and civic celebration. And in recognition of your outstanding contributions and participation in this meaningful 25th anniversary of incorporation, our city extends its sincere appreciation and congratulations to each of you. So as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all of my city council colleagues and all the people of this great city, we just wanted to take this opportunity to bring you up here tonight, honor you, and say thanks for all that you do to make this a great place to live. Thank you all. I do want to point out that in addition to the certificate of recognition that you each have received from the City Council, you also have received a separate certificate from our great State Assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, from our State Senator, Catherine Blakespear, and all the way from Washington, D.C., from your Congresswoman, Young Kim. And they all send their congratulations and thanks to each of you as well. So at this point, if we could line up like we were on a Little League ball team, we'll take some pictures.
Come in the middle. Folks in the back.
Hold your certificate so I can see them.
Turn around.
you so much. One more. Thank you.
So put a round of applause for our county.
All right, that brings us to item 3.2. And for reasons you'll understand shortly, we're going to do 3.2 and 3.3 together at the same time. So these are certificates of recognition as part of our business recognition. And we're going to recognize PharmaMia Retail and Compounding Pharmacy and the Dove Cafe. And at this time, I would like to invite forward the owners of those great companies, Wissam and Maya Zalzali, the owners. Please come forward. I think we're doing you first. So. Right here. I'd like to share the contents of Maya's certificate of recognition for PharmaMia. The City Council of Rancho Santa Margarita gratefully acknowledges local businesses that achieve excellence in quality, service, and community engagement. And PharmaMia is a family-owned pharmacy located in the Dove Canyon Plaza. It opened in September of 2023 and celebrated its grand opening in February of 2024, quickly establishing itself as a trusted healthcare partner in our community. The vision for PharmaMia began when the founder and pharmacist, Maya Zalzali, having witnessed the lack of compassion and personalized service in large chain pharmacies, sought to create a more patient-centered alternative, guided by the motto, "Your pharmacy, your health, our community." PharmaMia distinguishes itself by offering boutique-style care, including comprehensive patient education, proactive medication reviews, physician collaboration, and state-of-the-art compounding services, all while accepting all major insurance plans. As a longtime resident of Mission Viejo, and with Rancho Santa Margarita considered a second home, the Zalzali family has deep community roots and a commitment to giving back to the place they call home. The city of Rancho Santa Margarita celebrates businesses that cultivate this type of community pride, provide essential services, and enrich the lives of its residents through their commitment to excellence and customer service. And PharmaMia's mission is to provide accessible, high-quality pharmaceutical care, promoting community health, and delivering exceptional customer service while fostering the well-being and trust in every interaction. So Maya, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, potential customers of yours, we want to recognize you, congratulate you for the excellence in the way you run your business, and we thank you for the enduring contribution that you have made and will continue to make to Rancho Santa Margarita. Thank you. So not to be outdone, I'd like to tell you about the Dove Cafe. The Dove Cafe is located in Dove Canyon Plaza as well. It opened in June of this year with a grand opening planned for fall of 2025. It was created to bring warmth, hospitality, and a European-inspired experience to the RSM community. The cafe is the natural extension of the vision that began with Pharma Mia. As its founder sought to contribute further to the neighborhood by establishing a welcoming space focused on breakfast, brunch, and a meaningful connection. After more than a year of planning, construction, and hard work, the Dove Cafe was born, a luxurious yet cozy destination featuring freshly baked pastries and croissants prepared on-site daily, paired with specialty coffee and tea offerings. The Dove Cafe has already become a place where neighbors can gather, relax, and enjoy high-quality food and drink in a warm, family-friendly atmosphere. Visitors to the Dove Cafe are encouraged to indulge in elegance during each visit and will experience the refined atmosphere of Dove Cafe, where every sip and bite is crafted to delight the senses. So as the mayor of this city, on behalf of my city council colleagues and the 50,000 residents and potential customers of the Dove Cafe, it's our honor to bring you forward tonight to say thank you for choosing Rancho Santa Margarita to be home and for doing such a great job in the way that you run your business. Congratulations. I'd like to give each the chance to say a few words if you like and maybe introduce these important people.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor, for the recognition and everybody for attending. It's a great community, and they deserve great service, so we are here for them, whether the pharmacy or the cafe. I speak of the pharmacy, so I hope we spread the word that it's great service offered at our place, and thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, sir. And City Council, everybody, thank you for this recognition. You know, to have not just one business, open two businesses is a lot of work. And if I plan to open one more, she's going to divorce me. But this is just such a good example for our kids. You know, we've called Rancho Santa Margarita home for the past 8 years. You know, my kids have been at St. John's for since first grade and hoping to go to Santa Margarita High School. So, you know, even though we live in Mission Viejo, Rancho Santa Margarita has been our home, and it's been our pleasure to serve every guest and every patient at the pharmacy and the cafe.
Just thanking my kids so much, Ali, Mia, Aya, and Yara. They are triplets plus one. They come every day after school to support us, do their homework, and just watch us doing what we're doing. So I hope this is an inspiration for them so they can move forward with all what we're doing. Thank you so much, kiddos. We love you.
Well said. In case anybody does not know, the Dove Center is located directly behind Santa Margarita Catholic High School. These are great businesses, family-run, and I hope you'll check them out. I want to call your attention as well. You have not just the beautiful certificate of recognition from the City of Rancho Santa Margarita, but you also have received a certificate of recognition from your State Assemblywoman Kate Sanchez, your State Senator Catherine Blakespear, and your Congresswoman, Young Kim. So they send their congratulations to you as well. And at this point, why don't we get together and we'll take a nice picture.
Thank you, thank you.
All right. Continuing on with tonight's agenda, that brings us to item four, public comments. This is the first of two opportunities tonight to address the City Council on any matter not listed on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the City Council. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person, and there's a time limit of 15 minutes for this first segment of the public comments portion of the agenda. Council colleagues, I'll call your attention to two e-comments that we received, and you have copies of those before you. One was from Jan Roddick, and Jan wrote in support of the fire risk reduction community list application that we approved at our last meeting. And secondly, Michael Ebel wrote to us with some concerns regarding the use of flock cameras in our community. So I call your attention to each of those e-comments. In addition, we have one speaker request card, and this I'm going to call for at this point, Breanne Boyle. Okay. Good evening, Breanne. Welcome.
Hi. So just up top, I want to let the City Council and residents know that I made yet another request to the city to record the meetings on video under the Americans for Disabilities Act. Not only is the city not providing that accommodation, which is my second request, but I didn't receive any response at all from the council. I'm not sure why the city doesn't want to accommodate residents with disabilities, but I would love an explanation. The first time I asked, I was told they didn't want to spend the money. I'm not a lawyer, but that doesn't seem like a lawful reason to violate the ADA. Anyway, I wanted to thank the OC Fire Authority for your actions last weekend. In the last council meeting, the council submitted the city for the California Board of Forestry and Fire Protection Fire Risk Reduction Community List, that is the whole name. This board develops and maintains a list of local agencies located in state responsibility areas or very high fire hazardous severity zones that meet best practices for local fire planning. This is hilarious, given that right after that submission and agreement from council, you then reviewed your plans for the Parkway project, the new and unnecessary landscaping and fence along Antonio Parkway that no one walks on. Beauty is a priority, I guess. I read through the OC Fire Authority's vegetation management maintenance guidelines, and I brought a printed copy for you that I think you should be adding to the minutes. If you don't want to add those to the minutes or make them available to the public, I think you should have to explain why you won't include it for residents to review. In that guideline, they say people should, quote, utilize fire-resistant plants whenever possible, end quote. They also list the approved plants and trees, and here are the plants approved in the current city plan: deergrass, rosemary, chalkstick, and lavender. Here are how many of those plants are on the approved list from OC Fire Authority. Zero. The city has already planted California pepper trees by the monument, and guess what? Those are also not approved as fire safe. And the city will be surrounding these fire-prone plants with wood mulch. The city wanted to save money, so they did not go with the safer option of decomposed granite. For a city that just had a fire in the hills not even a week ago, and a fire that could have wiped out part of our town just 1 year ago, this kind of planning that elevates beauty and preference over the safety of its residents is irresponsible. What an absurd thing to build, even given the fire history here. I hope you have a speech planned, Mayor, when the next fire burns down homes and uses all the new fuel you're laying down for it. So thank you for the council members Bayert and Holloway for voting no on the Parkway plan of fire, and no thank you to members Beal, Figueroa, and McGurr, who, I guess, like to live on the edge or whatever.
Thanks for your comments, Breanne. I have no other speaker request cards. All right, so we'll move on to the consent calendar. All matters on the consent calendar are to be approved in a single motion unless a member of the City Council, staff, or a member of the public requests separate action on a specific item. I'm going to pull item 5.4 for separate consideration. Do we need to pull any other items?
No.
If not, I'd entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
So moved.
And I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries unanimously. 5.4 is approval of the warrant registers dated August 11th, 2025 and August 18th, 2025. Council members, I pulled this item because there was a request to speak from a member of the public, so I'm going to call forward at this time Chris McLaughlin. Good evening, Chris. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. I wanted to pull this item and speak to the new invoice from Nielsen Merksamer. This week, I submitted a public records request to see if you would divulge just the printing costs of the $47,000 invoice, $47,236.36 for the July billing for Nielsen Merksamer. This is separate from the $39,000 for June that I talked about last meeting. The reason why it's a weird request for just the postage is my request for the one from June was completely not fulfilled. The actual determination was citizen does not possess any non-exempt, non-privileged, or disclosable public records deemed responsive to this request. And the request was please provide the invoice with any backup supporting documentation that the city got from Nielsen Merksamer for $39,000 for the June litigation CVRA fees. This determination letter isn't from anyone or copy that I can see. So I asked the city clerk, does city council even know that we can't have a copy of the invoice? Which is strange to me because the invoice that you're not paying from Michelle Jackson, it's readily produced if you ask for it. Their mail costs on that one was $8.13 out of a total of $47,000. So this was kind of what I was expecting for Nielsen Merksamer. Just nothing that detailed in terms of anything that could give away litigation strategy, anything that's really, you know, truly intended to be privileged as a client attorney privilege. The civil code of procedure and the evidence code, the government code cited, it talks about attorney-client privileges being necessary so that clients can be forthright with their attorney and not have that disclosed. I don't see how the bill from the attorney is at all potentially compromising. I think it's just an approach from city council, or in this case, I don't even know if it's the city council. When I asked the city clerk, does city council know about this process, this determination? Are they aware of it at all? Their response was, determinations are made in accordance with the procedures and criteria contained in the California Public Records Act. As such, determinations relating to the production or withholding of certain public records are not legislative or discretionary matter for the city council, but you do vote to approve it, and you did vote to have this lawsuit, so I don't know how you unbind that. I think it's definitely up your alley, and I wish you would not be so suppressive of information to the public. Thank you.
Chris, thank you for your I want to assure you I was fully aware of your request, and I was under the impression that we had already responded to you. I think what you were asking for was a complete copy of the invoices with all the daily time entries, which would include descriptions of all the work that was conducted each day, what work was conducted, what research was conducted, et cetera. And I believe it was already explained to you, those kind of things are attorney-client privilege. But Mr. City Attorney, can you give a brief explanation to help our speaker?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor, members of City Council. A lot to unpack there. I guess the first accusation that these notices of determination are not sent by anyone. NODs are clearly sent by someone, Amy Diaz. She is the city clerk. She is an authorized public official of the city. So factually, that's just simply incorrect. A public official has responded to Mr. McLaughlin, as the city clerk has responded to all of his requests, which continuously keep coming in. All PRA requests are evaluated and processed in accordance with state law, and all exemptions, statutory and case law exemptions, are applied uniformly. Documents not subject to disclosure are withheld, will be withheld, and have always been withheld. State law sets forth numerous exemptions that are listed in the code, as well as exemptions that are created by case law. Those are all uniformly applied. Legal invoices regarding pending and ongoing litigation have clearly been indicated by California case law to absolutely be not subject to disclosure. That has been explained to Mr. McLaughlin on numerous requests. He just simply disagrees with that determination. All attorney-client privilege communications and comments and information, correspondence, and entries between your attorneys and the City Council are absolutely privileged and confidential. The requester just doesn't simply accept that fact, and that would be inconsistent with state law. And although not required to do so, the City of RSM uniquely, for transparency purposes, has always released total costs incurred by all legal counsel, including special counsel, and particularly in the litigation matter that Mr. McLaughlin repeatedly makes reference to. All of those costs are calculated and they are set forth transparently on every warrant register. He is well aware of that fact. The city has made all records regarding the CVRA lawsuit available to Mr. McLaughlin. Dozens and dozens and dozens of pages of administrative record have been provided to Mr. McLaughlin and explained to Mr. McLaughlin on repeated basis. He simply chooses to ignore that and feign ignorance as to receipt of those documents. Additionally, the city would be pleased to also now provide Mr. McLaughlin with copies of the City of RSM's opposition brief that was submitted to the Orange County Superior Court upon his request. That is a new piece of information that's available. If he would like to request that, the city would be pleased to transparently provide that to him. That sets forth all of the city's legal position and arguments related to this case. I hope that answers the mayor's question.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris. We're happy to make that filing with the court available to you and to anyone else that might have an interest in this litigation matter that's very important to this city. I think it would make it crystal clear why the city's taking the defensive actions that it is. Thank you for your comments, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to... I'll make a motion to approve item 5.4. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right. That brings us to item 6. There are public hearing items. Tonight we have none, so it brings us to item 7, new business. 7.1, a resolution amending and restating the schedule of fines and late fees for administrative citations. Ms. Kuda, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. This is a relatively simple, standard housekeeping item. We are requesting approval of a resolution consolidating all of the fines and fees relating to administrative citations into a single schedule, and that schedule is attached to the resolution. Since adoption of the administrative citation program in 2007, the council has added a number of additional permitting programs such as the e-bike ordinance and the sidewalk vending ordinance with their own admin sites amounts. And so those are found in various places in the code. This resolution will bring everything into one clear location, so anyone looking for the proper citation amount to apply can find it very easily. It's user-friendly, and we know exactly what to apply. No fees are being changed. All of the fees remain as the City Council has adopted them with those various ordinances and resolutions over time. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for staff? Okay, seeing none, we have no public speaker cards. Would anyone care to speak on this item? All right, seeing none then, would anyone care to make a motion to approve the staff's recommendation to adopt this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 8 is continued items. Tonight we have none, so we are quickly at item 9, public comments. This is the second and last opportunity for public comments tonight to address the City Council on any matter not listed on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the City Council. I have one speaker request, and I'll call for it once again, Breanne Boyle. Hello again, Breanne.
Hey, guys. Just super Wednesday night for all of us. Hold on, let me get my glasses on.
Oh, hey, fam. So I wanted to just mention yet again that the city could spend $40 on a pride flag, but they continue to refuse to do so. Anyway, Greg, feel free to take notes, but the flock is what we're going to talk about. So let's talk about how RSM is surveilling its residents. Never did I think I would have to stand up in my own city and talk about things that sound like tinfoil hat wearing nonsense, but this is the world we were voted into. For those listening at home, the flock is a camera system installed on several of our major intersections that the city says is for deterrence. I assume they mean crime, including traffic violations. You said you bought this surveillance system to deter crime. I would like to know how you will even be measuring that. What is the crime or traffic violation rate prior to the surveillance cameras? And what is the delta you are using to confirm your own bias that they have are having a positive impact? And where will these numbers be reported, and will civilians and citizens be able to see them? Otherwise, this is a $116,000 project to violate the privacy of citizens. Did you also notice that the CEO of the flock surveillance camera system that we have in our city has stated there are security concerns around their data? ABC News posted an article on Monday about how this same camera system company put a hold on their programs with the Department of Homeland Security and ICE. They did this themselves, limiting their own products and contracts because there was a concern of data sharing violations. The flock cameras capture billions of photos each month, per their own admission. RSM signed up with the flock to use cameras for that crime deterrence I spoke about. What will you be doing about these data concerns and the fact that federal agencies are accessing flock photos and information in order to track people across state lines? Are you concerned about the safety and privacy of your own citizens? Do you not really care about the members of this community who might be undocumented or not permanent residents? A resident of our city said in a recent meeting that he wanted to know why RSM wasn't standing up to protect its citizens from being kidnapped by ICE. I haven't heard an answer, though I can take a guess at the stance here. Now that we know the flock can be used to aid and abet this corrupt authoritarian federal government, will you take any steps to make sure your citizens are safe? How will this data be used, and how will you allow the government to access it to perpetuate their crimes? What kind of leadership are you even offering this city if you aren't protecting the people who live here? Perhaps we need new leaders and maybe some term limits. Thank you.
Thanks, Brianne. Brianne, I'll call your attention. There were numerous public meetings held as we were looking into installing this system, and they're available on our website. You can listen to them in full. All the sorts of questions about privacy that you talked about were thoroughly raised and answered. So, thank you very much. I'm happy to provide you the links to those. You're welcome. Okay, I have one additional speaker now, Jacqueline Martin. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. I'm actually also here to talk about the flock cameras. I actually saw some of the same news articles that Brianne apparently saw, though we didn't have an opportunity to discuss them. And, you know, I was unaware of them. I know that you've said there were lots of public discussions. But, you know, interestingly, and even though I read all of the mailers that I get from both Sam Lark and the city, I didn't see anything really advertised in those. So until I saw the budget line item that was discussed earlier this year to expand the program, I didn't know it existed. What's really interesting is that even on their website, they say that their system doesn't necessarily deter crime so much as it helps solve crimes that have already happened, because it's used by a lot of police departments to track people down after they've committed crime. There was just a big article in the news about Lowe's, who's part of the flock program at a lot of their stores, using it to catch a ring of shoplifters who were hitting stores in succession. So, you know, I mean, the thing that to me is confusing is that it doesn't really deter crime, especially because we don't advertise where they are. In fact, they're pretty subtle. They're hard to see, especially if you're driving. I only noticed them and saw which lights they were on because I was walking around town and was able to see them. So my question is, who audits the use of them? I read the Orange County Sheriff's rules about using them, and they seem pretty thorough. It includes an audit program to make sure that they're being used appropriately, unlike the case that a police officer in Texas tracked a woman all the way to Illinois by illegally accessing their cameras through several police departments crossing four different states. So who here's auditing them, and do you guys get to see that information to make sure that our flock system is being used appropriately and that our data is being stored securely and you're following your own data destruction and data secure storage and secure access rules. Do you guys get to see that? Is that part of the transparency? Also, I saw on our website that there were 222 crimes committed in 2023 in RSM, which was the year that you put these cameras in place. Those are the last stats I can find on the website. The other link to crime stats goes to a 404 page. So has it reduced the amount of crime committed? What are the stats showing that our tax money is being spent for something that's actually valuable to make us safer? There are no updated crime stats. And we don't know that the cost we're paying for this system is benefiting us at all. But it is putting our data at risk. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I would point out, as far as effectiveness, according to the FBI, Rancho Santa Margarita this year once again is ranked as the number one safest city in the state of California. So the Flock cameras that we've invested in are an additional tool used by police to keep this community safe. So thank you for your comments. I have no other speaker requests, so we'll move on now to item 10, City Manager's Report. The City Manager.
I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 11, matters presented by the mayor and city council members. Mayor Pro Tem?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Nothing further.
Okay. I have one item, and I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge and say thank you to my city council colleagues for their leadership. In 2010, Californians overwhelmingly approved Proposition 20 to take redistricting power away from the state legislature and to empower an independent Citizens Redistricting Commission to draw nonpartisan voting district lines. And that Proposition 20 passed in every single one of Orange County's 34 cities. Countywide, it passed 61% to 39%. It wasn't even close. Sadly, last week, as you probably all saw in the news or read, Governor Gavin Newsom directed Sacramento's Democrats in the state legislature to place a $200 million Proposition 50 on a special election ballot for November 4th, 2025. And their purpose is simple: gerrymandering. They want to change the California Constitution. They want to strip voters of the power to select their representatives and gerrymander congressional districts so that conservative voters here in Rancho Santa Margarita and throughout California would be further disenfranchised. Hyper-partisanship from the political left would then eliminate all reasonable debate and competition. No one in the Democrat leadership would even admit who drew those maps. Under their proposal, Orange County would be sliced and diced. As you may know, today, Orange County has 6 congressional districts. But under this new proposal, there would be 8. Why? To dilute the voice and influence of Orange County's conservative voters, with the goal of being that Los Angeles-type leftist policies would dominate the lives of the citizens in Rancho Santa Margarita and all of Orange County's residents. And I'm proud that Mayor Pro Tem Brad McGurr, Councilmember Jerry Holloway, Councilmember Ann Figueroa, and Councilmember Carrie Lynn Baert have joined me and more than 100 other Orange County elected officials to oppose Proposition 50. Thank you. Okay, seeing no other matters from council members, we're going to adjourn. The next regular meeting of the City Council will be held Wednesday, September 10th, 2025, 7 p.m. here in the City Council chambers. This meeting is adjourned.